good morning, everyone, again. Do you ever feel like your words don't have much of an impact on anything that you're trying to accomplish? That's exactly how I felt this morning, but that's okay. Why don't we take just a few minutes, less than two, actually, probably about 1 to 1.5 minutes. Just talk to your neighbors, those around you, and just share if you're, you know, willing to be a little vulnerable. What's your most frequent prayer request, and maybe why it's your most frequent? So why don't you take a minute and a half? I'm going to grab new batteries and stuff. So take just a minute and most frequent prayer and why. I hear the lull, so I'm going to jump in quick. All right, so is anybody willing to share with us all your most frequent prayer and short, you know, maybe a short why you pray that regularly? Mary? Oh, Lori? Right, gotcha. You're praying for her, or you're praying for you, or both? Okay. No, that's good. Thank you, Lori. Mary, did you have one you wanted to? Yeah. Excellent. Thank you, Mary. Appreciate that. Anybody else have one they want to share this morning? No. For health? Right. No, that's good, too. I'm with you on that, too, all the time. Just praying for help and no, I appreciate that. That's, yeah, I'm with you too on that. So, alrighty. Well, thank you for sharing, and thank you guys for discussing it. Hopefully, you guys had a little bit of a conversation. Are you? We're calling on people now. Okay, go ahead. Absolutely. No, that's a good prayer for sure, too. So, absolutely. Thank you, Cindy. We should have ended with this because I really like these. These are really good prayer things. And so, we'll maybe wrap it up with this, but we're going to shift gears just slightly to kind of get us started in the message this morning. But just thinking about prayer and the things, different attitudes and ways that we kind of approach prayer. And none of you guys said how you prayed. You prayed, you know, and that wasn't the question, obviously. You guys prayed, you know, what you were praying, and that's, I appreciate your guys' response. We're going to start, and they're on the screen, and so Tony's going to have to kind of keep up with me this morning, but these are ways that people have, or opportunities that people have, or ways that people pray. And so the first person says this: the proper way for a man to pray, said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, the only proper attitude, he says, is down upon his knees. Okay? Nay, I should say, the way to pray, said Reverend Dr. Wise, is standing straight with outstretched arms with rapt and upturned eyes. Oh, no, 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 said Elder Snow. Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with eyes fast closed and a head contritely bowed. It seems to me his hand should be austerely clasped in front, with both his thumbs pointing to the ground, with said Reverend Dr. Blunt. And I'm not sure if that looks like this or what, but that's a different way of doing it. My favorite one: last year I fell in Hodgkin's Well head first, said Cyril Brown, with both my heels a-sticking up and my head a-pointing down. And I done prayed right then and there, best prayer I ever prayed. and pray the prayingest prayer I ever prayed is standing on my head. And I like that poem because it shows us, we probably have all prayed those different prayers. We've been on our knees, we've had our hands outstretched, you know, we've had our, I don't know if you've had your arm, I don't know exactly what that looks like, or if your thumb's pointing down, or if you, I don't know, but I think all of us, even if we haven't been stuck in a well with our heels sticking up, we've prayed those prayers, right? In the middle of a turmoil, in the middle of chaos, in the middle of things going wrong. I think Missy was kind of talking about this, looking for help. God, get me out of this well. Get me out of, you know, this hard situation, this conflict, this frustration. And to me, those are sometimes the best prayers. And often are the most honest prayers, is that when we pray in the midst of that turmoil, in the midst of that chaos, in the midst of the things going on around us, those spontaneous prayers are essential to our relationship with God. But also it's true, and we'll talk about this more, prayers more than just those spontaneous, whimsical, just in the middle of the moment kind of things as well. And that's what we're going to talk about more this morning. But this morning we're in the second week of our Battle Plan for Prayer series, coming from the inspiration for the War Room movie. But really, ultimately, we know is inspired from the Bible. And when we look at the Bible, one of the things, kind of tying with what we looked at, we don't see a prescribed way to pray in the Bible. Other than when Jesus kind of expresses this is how you should pray, when he says the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. Most of the things we see in the Bible aren't descriptions of, or aren't prescriptions for this is how to pray. They are just descriptions of people praying. And we look at all the different characters and all the different stories throughout the Bible, and they're just images of this person went and prayed, and this is what he did, or this is what it looked like, but not necessarily saying this is how you should pray. This is the way to do it, on your knees or arms up, or, you know, or eyes closed. You know, I grew up, you fold your hands, you close your eyes, you bow your head. And I have the kids do that sometimes on Wednesday nights just because they cannot keep their hands off of each other. And if their eyes are open, they're looking all over, you know, and there's not a reason biblically to say fold your eyes, close your, you know, fold your hands, close your eyes, and bow your head, other than it helps you focus, right? It helps you keep your attention on what you're doing. But again, looking at the Bible and just seeing the images of all these different people who prayed and the different ways that they prayed, just shows to me this idea that there's no one perfect way to pray. For every single person. Maybe there's a great way that you pray that works really well for you, and that's awesome. But there's no one absolute perfect way to pray. And like I said last week, prayer is really just that conversation. It's really just sitting down and having coffee with Jesus. Just saying, you know, God, this is where I'm at. This is what's going on. This is how I feel about it. This is what I need, you know, what I'm asking for. This is what I need from you. Again, I doubt any of you did that, went home and had a Jesus chair. I'm guessing not. Like I said last week, you know, having that chair set aside, this is Jesus's chair, and I'm going to pray to that chair. But that to me is just a practical way to kind of think about it, that God just wants to commune with us. God just wants to talk with us. And often, again, that's going to be one-sided. I'm just going to be talking and talking and talking. I'm not going to hear a lot audibly from God. Most of the time, that's a sign of mental illness if we hear from, you know, voices like that. But God does speak to us, and I absolutely believe that completely. God speaks to us, maybe not in an audible, booming voice, but in subtle and powerful and unique kind of ways. And so thinking about that as we kind of work through this, we're going to cover just basically two types of prayer that I'm going to look at this morning. You see them in your bulletin on the screen. We had the two types of prayer, looking at scheduled and spontaneous prayer. Scheduled and spontaneous prayer. And if I say structured prayer, I mean scheduled. I'm going to have a hard time distinguishing those two. I did it when I was preparing this. My notes are all scribbled out because I had a hard time distinguishing between structured and scheduled. Because scheduled is different than structured. Scheduled is this idea of setting aside a certain amount of time, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. But the idea, again, between scheduled and spontaneous prayer is this idea of, I think both are necessary for a growing and vibrant relationship with God. I don't think we can have one without the other to have the best relationship we can have with God. The problem is that a lot of us are going to be really good at one and not the other. Some of us are going to be great at the scheduled and detail-oriented, just personality-wise. Some of us are going to be really good at the spontaneous, a little more casual, because personality and different things as well. But I think both are so important for us as we move forward in our relationship with God. So just speaking of both, or working through both a little bit, we're looking at scheduled prayer. You see scheduled prayer. This idea of scheduled prayers, it's planned, it's organized, it's put into a context in our daily schedule. We're going to do it at 8 o'clock every morning. We're going to do it on, you know, at 1 o'clock every day, or right before we go to bed, or right when we get up. Or we're going to schedule it into our lives. We're going to put away this specific time. And even if it's only 2 minutes, or it's 15 minutes, or it's 2 hours, whatever it is, it's scheduled into our day. And having that time to set aside, to be structured in such a way that my life is going to revolve around that event, this scheduled prayer that I have. And within that scheduled prayer, though, again, I want to use the word scheduled and not structured, because within that scheduled prayer, lots of different things can happen in our world, right? Lots of different things can happen in the way we relate to God. And I would say lots of different things should happen. If you've done the same scheduled prayers for the last, you know, 20, 30, 50 years, I would challenge you to do something a little bit different, because things can just get so, we can get so caught up in the way that we do it and the ritual, and the it can become rote and different other things as well. But setting aside that time, saying this is when I'm going to do it, having this one scheduled time that I'm going to stop and I'm going to pray, and that's all I'm going to do is just pray. And again, even if it's only 2 minutes, you know, especially if we're not used to it, 2 minutes might be a lot, or maybe it's 5 or 10 or 15 or an hour, whatever it ends up being for us. That's something that should grow. But within that scheduled time, things can look different. And we can do maybe our, we can just do impromptu prayers where we're praying about what we feel that day or what's going on. We can go through our prayer list that you get in the if you get the newsletter. Our newsletter has our prayer list or our weekly prayer list. You know, whatever that looks like can be so different for each one of us. But I think that scheduled time is so important. And we're going to look at Daniel chapter 6, excuse me, and just look at a verse there where Daniel is feels like that scheduled prayer time is so important for him. And even, this is Daniel, where Daniel, it's Daniel in the lion's den, the story. This king has made this law saying, you can only pray to me. King Darius says, you can only pray to me. He signs this law. And after he signs this law, this is what Daniel does in Daniel 6, chapter 10. He says, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went into his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. And he went down on his knees 3 times a day, and he prayed, gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Again, that's not a prescription saying that we should have an upper room that points toward Jerusalem and we should get on our knees and pray 3 times a day. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that Daniel, regardless of what was going on, he stopped and he prayed. And the 3 times a day would probably have been morning, you know, morning around noon and at night before bed. And he structured his life around that, regardless of the circumstances around him. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we looked at this verse last week. And I'm going to take the time to look it up, so you guys can take the time to look it up if you want. Acts 2, verse 42. We looked at it again, looked at this last week, but I think this helps us to reinforce this idea of the scheduled time for prayer. And it says this, and they, the early Christians, these early Christians, devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And when we look at the prayers, that idea, these Christians probably, and we're assuming a certain amount, but probably is the same scheduled prayers that Daniel prayed and that Jews had prayed for a long time. That morning, noon, and night, they stopped and they scheduled this and they did this. It wasn't an Old Testament practice. This is something that the Christians did as they began their day. And what I do, and I haven't done it 3 times a day, I have a hard time getting that evening one in, because once I go home, everything's up in the air. So I have a hard time getting the evening one done a lot of times. So I try to do morning, and I do it usually before I go home from the church or from work. But I do this called the Divine Hours, and it's just Scripture, usually Psalms. There's a morning, there's a midday, and there's a called Vespers or an evening office. And it's just an opportunity to pray some of the Psalms, to read some other prayers, to pray what other people have prayed. And then I add my own prayers in there as well. And I don't take a lot of time. I probably take 10, 15 minutes to do this. But I think it's such an important part of that scheduled time for me. And again, that's for me, I need structure. I need a lot of structure and schedule in my life. What I can control, I guess, anyway, because there's so many things outside of my control, so I need to control what I can. And so that's part of what I need to do. I need to stop at this time and at this time and work through it and have that prayer time that's important for me. And I encourage you to consider that, to work it out but not allow it to become something that's just routine, right? It's so easy, especially with, for me, I use this to kind of guide me. It's so easy to just, I can just read them, and I can just kind of stop, and I can just, you know, and be done, and I can move on. But what I want to do is I want to really connect with God. I want to spend that time relating to him and not let it become monotonous, not let it become rote, not let it become worthless, basically. And so I spend the time to really focus on that, and I want to get so much better at that. It's not something I'm perfect at by any means, and I don't even do two every day by any means, but such an important part of my relationship with God is that scheduled prayer time, to stop and to say, okay, 8 o'clock every morning, that's what I'm doing. You know, 2 o'clock every afternoon, that's what I'm doing. And to try to push everything else out of the way, to try to schedule my life around that to a certain extent, is really important to me. And for some of you, you're like, that is impossible, I cannot do that, there's no way I can get that done, which is why when we talk about spontaneous prayer, you're like, I can do that, that's great. But again, especially if you struggle with one of these, really emphasizing, I think, is important. And so we have scheduled prayer. We have within that schedule, we're going to set that time aside, but whatever you do to connect with God in that time is great. But then we also have spontaneous prayer. And again, some of us are really good at spontaneous prayer, I think. Throughout your life, throughout your day, throughout the things going on, you just respond with prayer. You just say, okay, God, thank you for that, or I need this, or you know, whatever it is. The spontaneous prayer is so much easier to do. The problem is so often life just gets we get caught up in life. And even though we intend to pray, even though we intend to stop and thank God or to pray about this, we tend not to do it, which is why the scheduled is so important. But again, the spontaneous is oftentimes the more honest prayer as well, where I'm going to really, you know, those are the times where your heels are sticking up in the air, and I'm praying an honest, open prayer to God and connecting with him in that way. And so finding those opportunities to be spontaneous, to pray in response to the things going on around us. And the problem is for me, to be spontaneous is can be really challenging. I have to plan to be spontaneous, which is ridiculous in some ways. But that's really what I need to do, because again, if I'm going to say, well, I'm going to pray throughout the day, I need things to remind me to pray. I need things to see or to experience and say, okay, I need to stop and I need to pray, because that's just, my mind just gets caught up into all the other things going on. And so if you're like that, if you're like me, maybe you're great at spontaneous prayer, you don't need any of these things. But for me, I need these things that I would call prompts. And I've got 5 quick prompts that I want to cover this morning that maybe would help you if you have a hard time with spontaneous prayer like I do in some ways. The first prompt is the needs. The needs that we see in life. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, in the middle of Jesus's the example of prayer that Jesus gives his disciples, the Our Father who art in heaven, right in the middle he says this: give us this day our daily bread. And just this idea that we have a need, and we're going to pray for it, and we're going to ask God to help, or there's a need around us, or we see something going on, this is something we need, God provide it for us. And I think, again, talking about some of the things that you guys pray for, maybe it's a specific person or a situation, a need in our heart, a need like bread for some of us. Maybe that's a need where we don't know where we're going to get a meal tomorrow or next week, or money's running out or whatever it is. That need is right before us. And so when that need comes up, we stop and we pray. We stop and we pray. The second prompt is when there's confusion, crisis, and stress. Confusion, crisis, and stress. And this ties a little bit to the need idea, but emphasizes the idea where there's just a lot of stuff going on. Something gets lost. We lose something, maybe a job, or there's a broken relationship, or there's a lot of hurt or pain, or we just need help. And in that confusion, crisis, and in that stress, stopping and saying, God, I need you. And Isaiah 55 gives us a great reminder. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Of why we would stop to pray at those times. It says this: for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God is so much greater. He has so much more understanding and power and authority to be able to accomplish the things that we can ask him for. And so to stop in the midst of those crises and those crises and those turmoils and those events, to say, God, help me in this. Find a way to relieve the pressure, to change the situation, to change me, to move forward well. The third prompt is sin. Third prompt is sin. When we fall short of what God desires for us to do, we call out and we pray to him to provide for us forgiveness, but also help and guidance and direction to move forward well. In 1 John 1:9, we have the great promise that God, or that the author John here gives us about God. 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And again, the promise that God is going to be there when we sin. And a lot of sometimes we don't see that we're making a mistake or we're choosing something. Sometimes we don't see it right away. But once we see it, to stop and to say, okay, yeah, I didn't do that right. Or yeah, that was a mistake on my part. Or yeah, I chose to do something that isn't what God wants me to do. And in that moment, to stop and say, okay, what can we do about this? I'm going to confess it. I'm going to ask for God to forgive me. I'm going to ask others around me to forgive me. And we know that God says that he's going to provide for us in that. Fourth prompt is blessing and burdens. Blessing and burdens. In Matthew 7:11, we're kind of told about this. And blessing and burdens is kind of a unique one in terms of what I'm looking at and what we mean by that. Blessings is all of us have been given lots of blessings, right? Lots of us, all of us have been given these things that God has provided for us. And sometimes at times in life, it feels like it's a little harder to find than others. Right, and just trying to figure out, well, was that a blessing or is that something that you need to work on or different things like that. But then the burden as well of other people that we see around us. We know we've been given so much and we see the need around us, which is why we have our prayer list here, you know, on Sunday mornings in the bulletins and in our newsletter. We see the needs around us, and to see the need and to see that we're blessed should respond, or our response should be prayer. How can I pray for that situation? How can I help that person? I would say a spontaneous prayer that I think we can all do better at. You know, how many times do you get asked to pray for somebody? Does somebody come up to you and say, will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? How often do we stop and pray for them right at that time? Do we put a hand on their shoulder and say, okay, let's pray about it? A lot of times I'll just be like, yeah, I'll pray for you. Absolutely, I'll pray for you. And I try to down the, you know, as I go. But how great would it be if we just stop? Someone needed prayer and just say, okay, let's pray for you right now. Let's take care of this. And then continue to pray as you move forward as well. But knowing that God provides for us all these wonderful things, how much more should we provide? Or you know, when we know that we provide well for others, how much more does God provide for us? And that's what Matthew 7:11 says. It says, if then you, who are even know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is heaven give good things to those who ask him. Sometimes we think that God is punishing us, or he's not giving us what we want or deserve, but we know that if we can give good gifts, if we can provide for people well, God provides so much greater, so much more, and so much more efficiently than we ever could. And the fifth prompt, kind of as we wrap up this morning, is request and rejoicing. Request and rejoicing. In James 4:3, these requests and rejoicing, we see these words. You ask and you do not receive, because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Sometimes we don't stop to pray because we don't think we're going to get anything out of it, or it's going to do not to do any good. But a lot of times we just don't see the answer to prayer the way we expect to see it. And so God calls us to pray at times where there's rejoicing, and where there's a need for things in our life, but also the requests that we desire, and to request in a way that's going to bless other people. I think we should pray selfish prayers. You can write that down and say that Matt said that. I think we should pray selfish prayers. I think we should pray for things that we need. But I think our prayers should be, if it's a need for us, is to be able to bless other people around us. Pray for things that will help us so that we can help others. And I think that should be our motivation for anything we do for ourselves, is so that in the long run, maybe not, you know, the same day or the next day, we can bless others around us. And so the difference, I think, in James's word here, he uses the word passion. And that word passion in James chapter 4, he says, you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. to me is that word where we're just satisfying something in ourselves, something that's just physical, something that's just going to please us and not going to be able to benefit anyone else. And so when we ask for those things, generally God's going to say, no, I want to give you something different. I want to give you something that'll help you, but also help those that are around you. And so to see the needs, to see the requests, to see the things around us, and then to rejoice in those things as well. And I think a lot of times we fail to be to thank God in our rejoicing because we just chalk it up to circumstances or we chalk it up to ourselves. When I think I was in high school, I was driving. I was at a four-way stop right behind this individual, and we were there. The intersection's a fairly busy intersection, a larger intersection where it's four lanes. So he was taking a left and I was taking a left, and so we had to cross the lane of traffic to pull into the next lane. And so I had seen several opportunities for this individual to turn. And every time that individual, and it's, I'm sure you're like this too, every time he fails to turn, when I expect him to turn, my anger level just increases slightly. You guys are better people than me, so you don't do that ever. But I was getting angrier and angrier as this person's not turning. And finally he goes, and I am looking at traffic, and I'm like, okay, I can go too. And so I don't know if I stopped or not. I'm going to assume that I stopped briefly. And so he's pulling, and my assumption, again, this is a terrible assumption, I'm assuming this guy's going to pull in the first lane because you're supposed to pull into the first lane of traffic, you know, in the first lane when you take a left. And so I'm going to pull around him, and I'm going to go into the other lane around him. Well, obviously, he's not going to pull in that first lane because I never pull in the first lane either when I take a left. And so he's pulling into the second lane. So where am I supposed to go? And somehow, miraculously, and I give God the credit for this, instead of crashing into him and causing this big chain of reaction because there's cars flying everywhere, I was able to get onto the shoulder and pull over and just stop. And I stopped and put it in park and sat there for a few seconds. I prayed Thanksgiving that God allowed me to get out of that. But sometimes we don't pray those things because I could say, yeah, I'm just a really good driver, and that is why I was able to get out of it. I could say that, and it would be partially true, probably. I don't know, somewhat true maybe. But I give God glory that I was able, that he gave me the ability to see that he wasn't going to go in that first lane and to adjust and be able to get out without causing more problems. And I think we all have those stories where something small, maybe fairly small or maybe fairly routine, that we need to stop and rejoice that God allowed us to be unharmed or that things went smoothly. And so in thinking of all these different kinds of things in the scheduled and in the spontaneous prayers of stopping and just thanking God or rejoicing in God or asking with God, we need both. We need to be scheduled. We need to be spontaneous. We need to just, in the long run, just connect and commune with God. And whatever it takes for you, whatever it requires for you to be more scheduled or to be more spontaneous, I just challenge you to find a way to do that. Excuse me, find a way to do that this week. And again, there's lots of different ways that we can do this. I try to, with the spontaneous ones, I try to be more physical. When I see an ambulance going somewhere, I try to stop and pray. Maybe for you, if you look at and see birds, you know, see a cardinal or a blue jay, you're going to stop and you're going to thank God for creation. You know, maybe it's different things like that that'll help be more spontaneous. But whatever it takes, I strongly encourage us to find ways that we can schedule and plan our prayers, but also find ways to be spontaneous. And so as we close this morning, I want you to just remember three quick things. That when we pray, three things to remember. One, the love of God that he has for us, that he wants the best for us. The love of God that he wants the best for us. Two, the wisdom of God that knows what is best for us. And three, the power of God that can accomplish it. When we pray, remembering God's love that he wants the best for us, his wisdom that he knows what's best for us, and third, the power that God has to accomplish it all. So as we leave, as we go, my prayers is that we remember those things and find ways to commune and connect with him. Let's pray. Gracious Father, again, we thank you so much for the blessings that you provide and the things that we often take for granted. I pray, Lord, that we can see and be thankful for them in the spontaneous, in the moment-by-moment times, but in the scheduled and structured times that we have as well in our lives. Pray that we are drawn closer to you. We pray that your Spirit is active and moving among us, and we pray that you lead and guide and direct us more and more in our lives. Pray us all in Jesus' name. Amen.